Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, if you would, please. There's no explaining the leading of the Holy Spirit. I had decided what I would preach on this evening and spent an hour on it this afternoon after I got up from my would-be nap, which really kind of didn't occur exactly like I wanted it to, but I kind of got a nap and I kind of didn't. When I did finally go to sleep, I laid there for a long, long time listening to my wife sleep. And she was enjoying her nap. And I kept thinking, why can't mine come? Where is mine at? Can't I doze off to sleep? Well, then finally, somewhere along there, I did, just a few minutes before my phone went off. And somewhere along the line, I did doze off, but it wasn't very long before I had to get up anyway. And so then I went and spent an hour on a message now that the Holy Spirit has led me not to preach. And so I want you to look at Luke chapter 1, if you would, please. And we're just gonna entitle this tonight, Fear Not. Fear Not. And this is our Christmas Eve meditation. There was in the days of Herod, and I'm in verse 5, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Verse 11 is key, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Probably would me too. And notice the first thing the angel said to him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, that's really all the farther we're going to go there, but I want to ask you tonight, what were his fears? Obviously, he was afraid of the presence of the angel. Has he come to do me in? Is this it? Let me ask you, if you went to sleep and you woke up and there was an angel standing at the foot of your bed, what's the first thing you would think? Uh-oh, he's come to take me home. And that wasn't the case here, but I could see a guy thinking, is this it? Is dying going to hurt? You know, sometimes dying hurts. Sometimes you hear people die in their sleep, but nobody really knows how much pain they felt before they expired. You know, maybe it didn't feel so good. You know, sometimes people die in accidents. Sometimes people die in sickness. And sometimes people just die of old age. And maybe Zacharias is thinking, you know, I'm an old guy, and here I am in the temple burning incense. I mean, what a way to go. I got my robe on. I got my shoes on. If the angel has come after me, then boy, what a way to go. Maybe that was the fear that he had. Maybe he had the fear that the angel was going to chastise him or rebuke him. But instead, notice what he said. And I think his fear was growing old without a child. You know, he and Elizabeth were both old. As a matter of fact, some of the scholars that comment on this passage of Scripture believe that like Abraham and Sarah were both past childbearing years, many scholars believe that Zacharias and Elizabeth were both past childbearing years as well. And the result of that was that this was a miraculous birth. And really, I've seen nothing in Scripture to cause me to doubt that. I think it's a very feasible, plausible hypothesis to think that maybe they were past childbearing years. And so here's a guy who's maybe not only afraid of the angel, but he is fearing growing old and not having accomplished his purpose in life. You know, one of the purposes that Jewish people had in marriage was to reproduce children. And it was really a shame and an embarrassment not to have children. And they were looked upon as not being blessed of God by not having children. And so it was just a humiliating thing not to have children. You remember how Hannah wanted children so badly. She wept and cried and prayed before God and asked God to give her Samuel, and she finally had Samuel, and then she had other children after that. But of course, Samuel was a special child as well. But here we see Zacharias is afraid. Perhaps his fears were of the presence of the angel. Perhaps his fears were of death. After all, he was old. Perhaps his fear was growing old without a child. But what was it that calmed his fears? The angel said, "Fear not, for thy prayer is heard." Boy, what a blessing answered prayer is. We don't do it enough, do we? I mean, seriously, we don't pray enough. We don't ask God for hard things. We all of us ask God for general things like, Lord, bless this food and make this a good day and help me to serve you best I can, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things that we'd never know if really God answered the prayer or not. But to ask God for a child like Hannah did, now that's kind of a courageous prayer. I'm putting God to the test here. I'm asking God for something that I'm going to know if he gave me the answer or not. It's one thing to pray a nebulous prayer to which there is no specific answer, you know. Lord, give me good health. Well, you know, that's kind of a matter of opinion. That's a real general prayer. But when you say, Lord, would you please give me, I need $100 by the end of the week. Now that's a specific prayer. And here the angel tells Zechariah, don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. I want to remind you what Jesus told his disciples the night before he was crucified. They were in the upper room in John chapter 14. In all of those chapters, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, all four of those chapters consecutively took place between the time that the disciples were in the upper room and before they actually got busy in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of the chapters for sure occurred in the upper room because the Bible says at the end of John 14, they left the upper room. So whether the other three chapters happened in the Garden of Gethsemane or they happened in the journey on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, all four of those chapters are back to back. But Jesus told his disciples that night, don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. You remember that? Let not your heart be troubled. And then he said, for these reasons. Number one, I promised you a home in heaven. Okay, I've made a place in heaven. Number two, a relationship with the Father. You've known me, you've known the Father. But number three, he said, you know, I'm going to leave you behind and you're going to do greater work than me because you're going to be here longer than me. And I want you to know that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that's a very specific promise that Jesus made. And it doesn't mean that if I ask him for a Mercedes-Benz that he'll give me a Mercedes-Benz. It has to be asked in his name, and that means by his authority. But if I ask anything by his authority, he promised that he would do it. And that means for his purpose, for his will, for his glory, for his honor. But whatever I ask in his name, he said, I will do it. And I'll tell you what, the promise of answered prayer is a great blessing that we don't turn to often enough. We don't remember it often enough. That promise alone, thy prayer is heard, that promise alone could keep us from many of the fears of life if we just remembered that. So we see the fear that Zacharias had when he saw the angel. Maybe the angel of the presence of the angel, maybe grown old without a child, but fear not, for thy prayer is heard. And then I want you to skip down to verse 26 with me, and we're going to look at the second fear not, the second visitation by an angel, and this was 6 months later. By the way, we understand that when Zacharias went home from the temple, he and Elizabeth conceived, and they were soon expecting. And 6 months later, then we see the angel Gabriel visiting Mary. Look at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Don't be afraid, Mary. Now, what were her fears? Well, perhaps her fears were like Zacharias. She had the fear of the angel. Has he come to chastise me? Has he come to whoop up on me? Why is the angel here? Of all people, he's come into my place, into my home, and he's made this statement to me. But then he goes ahead and he tells her, you're going to be with child. Look at the rest of his statement. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, that shouldn't scare any lady, any young lady who was properly wed. But that had not happened yet in Mary's life. I think there could have been some panic in this. Think of this. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever over the house, or reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Notice Mary's response to this. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Can you see Mary's mind working here? Yeah, this is going to be, but I don't know any. I do not know a man. I have not known a man. How can this be? And then the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so I want you to think about this. What about the fears of an unwed mother with a child? Could she have been deathly afraid? You know, in old Jewish society, that would have been a stoning offense. They would have stoned her. At the very least, under Roman law, she would not have been stoned, but she would have been excommunicated. Now, what a lot of people don't understand about excommunication is that it isn't just kicking you out of the local congregation. Those churches that do that believe that they have also excluded you from heaven. When a Jew is excommunicated, that means they can't go to be with their fathers. When in Roman Catholicism, when somebody is excommunicated, it isn't just that you can't come to church here anymore and you're put out of the church. It means you can't go to heaven when you die, because salvation is of the church. And so it was an awesome thing that would take place. An unwed mother, is she going to be put out of Jewish society? What will the priests do? What will the Levites do? What will the scribes do? What will the Pharisees do? What will the Sadducees do? What will Joseph do? Joseph was her beloved. I believe with all my heart that Mary truly loved Joseph, and I believe Joseph truly loved Mary. He didn't wish to put her away. Remember, even when he found out she was with child, and even though he suspicioned that she might have been unfaithful, he did not wish to bring the shame upon her of public disavowal. Instead, he was going to put her away privately because he truly loved her. And Mary loved him. How is this going to affect my relationship? What about daddy and mother? What is dad and mother going to say? My goodness, how many of you have cared about what dad and mother would say? I'm telling you what, that helped keep me clean my teenage years. I remember more than one time the thing that kept me from stepping over the edge and experimenting with some things of the world was I knew it would bring my mother down to her grave in gray hair. I knew it'd kill her. And I loved mother and I loved dad enough, I didn't want to bring that grief upon them. And I stayed clean because of that very reason. You say, well, you should have stayed clean for the fear of the Lord. Yeah, I should have. You're right, I should have. And you should have too. But how many of us instead were motivated by fear of what dad and mother would say? I can see Mary here being afraid. But notice what the angel says to her here. And you got to read the sentence correctly. Look at verse 30. Why is she not to be afraid? Now remember, Zacharias was not to be afraid because his prayer was heard. Okay, you remember that? Zacharias was not to be afraid because his prayer was heard. Now Mary is not to be afraid because she's found favor with God. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor or grace with God. That's the word charis. That's the word grace. Don't be afraid. There's the grace of God. You found grace with God. Should that help us in our fears? Oh, what a blessing God's grace is. You know, I think we need to realize that God's grace is not just something that is available to lost sinners. God's grace is something that is available to sinners who are saved and being sanctified. And it's not just salvation that brings God's grace, but it is also sanctification of a saint that brings God's grace. God's grace is available for me to walk in the ways of the Lord and grow in Christ every day. I do not have to do this thing alone. I do not have to do this thing called the Christian life. I do not have to do it alone. And I don't have to be afraid, because the Holy Spirit of God will give me grace day after day to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so we see Mary was told to fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Now I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. We're going to look at another fear not of an angel, the angel of the Lord. In verse 18, chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. So here Joseph sees an angel in his dream. That would be a little like the Cyclops that I saw in my dream. You know, I mean, you know, okay, you're dreaming. It's not a real thing. It's not like a real angel. You know, if a real angel appeared before me now, I'd have to pinch myself to make sure if I was awake or asleep. Okay, I pinched myself and I found, okay, I'm awake. That's a real angel. But, you know, in your sleep, it's just as real as if it were real. And so Joseph is sleeping, and in his sleep, the angel of the Lord appears to him. And he says, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Why? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And you're to call his name Jesus. Don't be afraid. God is working here. What has taken place, you don't understand. But don't be afraid. God is working here. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of things in this life we don't understand. I do not understand how Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to. All I have to know is that it was of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the rest is by faith. I just have to trust the Lord. There's a lot of things in life that you and I may not understand as they take place, but you know what? We can still have that calm assurance that the Holy Spirit is working in our life. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a real Christian? I mean, a real Christian? As they used to say, a born-again Christian? And my question is there any other kind of Christian? You know, we had some politicians years ago that used to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again Christian. Well, there's not really any other kind, is there? Are you a Christian? Are you a real Christian? Are you a born-again Christian? Well, if you are, then the Holy Spirit of God is working in your life. If you're not a Christian, then the Holy Spirit, he still may be working in your life to bring you to salvation by conviction of sin. But if you're a Christian, then the Spirit of God dwells in you. And Paul is so plain in Romans, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you're not really saved. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of his, Paul says. I want you to understand, here we see Joseph was afraid. Now, what was Joseph's fears? I thought about that. He might have had the fear of marrying a woman of uncertain behavior. I think there's always a little fear that goes into getting married. How many of you remember being just a little tremorious before getting married? Do you remember the tremors that came and maybe the uncertainty, like, I sure hope this is the right thing to do? You don't remember that far back? Honestly, the truth was I was too tired to doubt all the time. I was living on about 3.5-4 hours sleep a night. I made up my mind it was done. And honestly, I didn't give it a second thought. I never actually had those fears, but I know it's not an uncommon thing to lots of brides and grooms to, at the last minute, be wondering, is this the right thing to do? Is this really God's will for my life? So maybe he was thinking about marrying a woman of uncertain behavior. Maybe he was thinking about raising a child in troublous times. Is that a fear that's common with people today? I think a lot of us wonder, where in the world is this world going? And what about our children? Now, my children are fairly well grown. I think they'll be all right. But what about my grandchildren? What kind of world are they going to come up in? Could that be a fear, a legitimate fear? And yet, look at what the angel says here. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Do you know, for a Christian, the Holy Ghost of God is working in my life every day to create circumstances in which God can bless me if I will just walk in his ways. And I don't have to have all the certainty and all the guarantees and all the insurances of the world to know that everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything is all right in my Father's house. Everything will be all right in my Father's house. And I believe this, they may not be wealthy, they may be poverty-stricken, but my descendants will be fine if they walk in the ways of the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. David said, in all my days I've lived, I've never seen the righteous forsaking or begging bread. In all my days, I've never seen that. And David saw a lot in his lifetime. And you know what? I don't believe God's going to let a righteous man beg bread. I just don't. God's going to take care of him. And so here we see the angel speak to Joseph, and he said, fear not to take her to wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to go back to Luke, and we're going to look at one last event here. And we preached on this morning, but the angels appeared to the shepherds in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Why? Now, why were they not to be afraid? First of all, ask yourself the question, what would these soldiers or these shepherds have been afraid of? Well, I think they could have been afraid of the angels too. I think every one of these could have been afraid of the angel. But there was also, I wonder what the shepherd's fear might have been about the inability to keep up with supply and demand. You know, it seemed like the need for sacrifice was growing every year. Every year, at Passover time alone, they ran through 250,000 male yearling lambs. That was a lot of lambs that had to be kept spotless and without blemish. There was a lot of shepherding to be done there. And what's going to happen to us if one day the high priest comes out here and we don't have enough lambs? What's going to happen to the whole sacrificial system if we don't keep up with the demand of lambs? Or perhaps they were afraid of Roman interference. Rome had been taxing them blind. And Rome was interfering in their daily life. And they even feared Rome attacking them or destroying them. And maybe there was this fear. What if the Messiah never comes? They were all looking for the King of Israel. What if he never comes? Have you wondered that about the rapture? What if he never comes? You know, I started preaching when I was 16 years old. And I loved to preach on the rapture because I just knew I was never going to have to die. Now I'm 64 years old. I've been doing this for a few years. And I'm thinking about one of these days, you know, I may have to die. The rapture, if the rapture doesn't come soon, I may have to die. And that's a reality that I didn't really want to face. I would have much rather went in the rapture. How many would rather go in the rapture? You know, I think most all of us would. But you know what? We may have to die. Will the Messiah ever come? Will Jesus ever come? Will the rapture ever happen? But these shepherds were thinking They were, I don't know everything that they were thinking, but they were afraid. But notice why the angel told them, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. And look at the verse. Fear not, verse 10, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You don't have to be afraid because I've got a wonderful message here. It's a message of grace that is to all people. And you don't have to be afraid. You know, fear is a terrible thing. Somebody said one time that a courageous man only dies one death. A coward dies 1,000 times. Because a coward dies every time he's afraid. And yet I think all of us live with fear. We all have maybe a different kind of fear. Some people have a fear of getting a disease. Some people have a fear of growing old and running out of money. Some people have a fear of just growing old. Some ladies have a fear of just growing old and not being pretty anymore. Young people have a fear. What if my friends don't like me? What if I can't make friends? I was thinking about Michael and Nora going to the Solomon Islands. One of the most fearsome things I ever did was to plant a church in St. Louis, Missouri. I got to tell you, when I went out and started knocking on my first doors, I was scared to death. What if nobody comes? What if I can't get anybody to come? What if I knock on hundreds of doors and nobody will come? What if I give people the gospel and nobody will get saved? What if I do that? It will be a laughingstock back at my Bible college. What will people think? I went there to plant a church and nobody came. The whole thing folded up. What'll happen? It was a fearsome thing. I can bet you're a little nervous. You know, what if nobody comes? Now, the good thing is, you know, you've already got some people there that are interested. But what if that's all? What if you never can get anybody else? No, I don't think that's true. But those fears are very realistic. You know, some of us fear dying. Some of us fear our spouse dying. I've told you this before. The day I was driving along in St. Louis and heard James Dobson say that every woman feared her husband dying before her and leaving her with a bunch of children. And I thought, that's preposterous. I was maybe 28 at the time, and I thought, I'm 28. Elsie, that means Elsie was, let's see. Well, it's none of your business how old that would make her. But she's a little older than me. But she doesn't sit around and worry about me dying and leaving her alone with, at that time we had four little children. So I went home that night and I said to her, I heard the craziest thing on the radio today. I heard James Dobson say that every woman fears her husband dying and leaving her alone with the children to raise. I said, and I thought that's crazy. She said, No, it's not. She said, I think about it often. It's a realistic fear to a lot of women. And you know what? It doesn't have to be mean being left alone with little children. Nobody wants to be the last man out. You know, I hope I go before she does. She hopes I go before she does. What are you thinking? That can be arranged? The truth is, I want to go first. She wants to go first. Nobody wants to be left behind. What about growing old and running out of money? You know, in this society, those kind of things are precarious. No matter how much you think you have saved and how well you think you're prepared for retirement, one word can change all of that. Cancer. Diabetes. I mean, all of a sudden now, okay, we got all these huge medical bills and we weren't prepared for that. What if I end up with something that the insurances don't cover? What if? What's going to happen with our nation? What's going to happen with our young people? Do you know you could just work yourself up into a panic if you're worried about those things all the time? But I want you to see this angel, these angels, this angel and these angels say to the shepherds, we get good news for you. We bring glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And that is that Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem this day. You know, that just about makes everything okay. I might run out of money before I die, but I'm not going to really worry about anything to eat because the Lord promised that He'd give us this day our daily bread. Did He not promise that? And things might not work out exactly like I plan them to work out, but you know, the bottom line is the Lord of glory is my Heavenly Father. And everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And so I hope this evening when you think about these angelic messages, each angelic message started with fear not. For Zechariah, it's fear not, thy prayer's heard. For Mary, it's fear not, you found favor with God. For Joseph, it's fear not, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is at work here. You know, we ought to just know the Holy Ghost is working in our life and everything's all right where the Holy Ghost is working. And then finally, these shepherds, fear not, because I bring you good tidings of great joy. This will be to all people. There's a Savior, and He's Christ the Lord. He's Christ, the Son of God. And you know what? He's my Savior, and He's my King. And so you and I should fear not. Why? Fear not because my prayer is heard. Fear not because I found favor with God. Fear not because the Holy Ghost is working in my life. And fear not because Jesus Christ is Lord. And those would be my words of encouragement to you on this Christmas Eve. Don't be afraid. You know, the new year's coming. And I always get a little anxious when I think about a new year. What's going to happen in the new year? I don't know what's going to happen in the new year. You know, by this time next year, some of us could be in heaven. Very possible. And it might not be who you'd guess. You know, you might think, well, let's see who's the oldest one here. Age has nothing to do with it. Age has nothing to do with it. But you know what? If we know the Lord Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of what the next year is going to bring. Because everything's all right in my Father's house. Can you think that with me? Or can you say it with me? Everything is all right in my Father's house. Everything is all right in my Father's house. Say it with me. Everything is all right in my Father's house. Everything is all right in my Father's house. No matter what happens, everything is all right in my Father's house. Everything will be okay. How many dads and moms rush to little children and say, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You know what? It will be all right because the Lord is on the throne. It'll be okay. So let's trust Him. Would you bow with me, please, for prayer?